I know, I'm scared to death. Of course, I'm always scared. Well, not as much as I used to be. I want to thank Phil, wonderful special. Where'd he go? He moved. There he is, down there with his family. Okay, thank you. Very well. We are in the Lenten season, so I'm going to preach again about some things that were happening with Jesus during that season. Last time I preached, I spoke about God the Father saying of Jesus, "This is my Son, listen to him, hear him. Don't worry about Moses and Elijah and the others. Pay attention to my Son." And Jesus is going to speak some more in what I read this morning. And my charge to you is listen to what he says. When I sat up here this morning for the first time, I realized something I never thought about before. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 23, right towards the end of that chapter, you find the words, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem." I've read that a lot of times, heard that a lot of times, but I never tied it in with what happens in chapter 24, which is more of what I'm going to center on later on this morning. But I'm going to start with verse 37 of chapter 23 and read into chapter 24. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Then the part I put in your bulletin. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. I'm going to pause there for just a minute. Jesus and the disciples had been in the temple area, and they had been very much impressed about that area. Years ago, one of the things I learned as a preacher was, be careful of what I said. Because what you say has its consequences. Be careful what you say. If you're too harsh, you will destroy people. You're trying to clown around, maybe you'll hurt somebody by not telling them what they need to hear. Be careful of what you say as a person walking upon God's earth, because what you say has its consequences. Many years ago, I was on the Burney Clay Township Volunteer Fire Department. Early one evening, we received a phone call that a grain bin was on fire. So we go to the firehouse and we get the fire trucks and we go to the location of the fire. And it's not a grain bin, it's an old wooden corn crib. It had sat there empty for years and years and years, and somebody decided to burn it. Well, the problem was the person who lit the fire was not the owner, so that made the fire arson. And the fire hadn't done much damage to this wooden grain bin. It could be patched up with no trouble. If somebody still had ear corn, they could shovel it in there. But our fire chief had to call the state fire marshal's office, and they sent an investigator our way. And the investigator arrives in just a couple, 3 hours. He starts his investigation. And the gentleman who was investigating the fire is a man named Jim Skaggs. And if Chuck Gunner was here today, I'd ask him to tell you about Jim. And if you want to know about this man, you ask Chuck, and he'll talk to you about him. I'm sure he will. But Jim starts looking at things and talking, and one of the firemen on our department makes a smart remark. And Officer Skaggs' antenna goes, bing! And from that moment on, he was convinced that that fireman was the arsonist. I don't think he was, but Officer Skaggs was the one who mattered, and he was the one who thought he was. The reason he thought that was what the firefighter said fit the picture of firemen who are arsonists. He questioned this man for quite a while before he let him go home. And I would say to you, you know, again, be careful of what you say. You might intend one thing and somebody hear something else. One of the things, though, about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, I don't think he ever misspoke. I know Peter did, because the Apostle Paul gets on him from time to time when he misunderstands or he says something the way he shouldn't have. We human beings do that. We say things we shouldn't say. But I don't think Jesus ever said anything he should not have said. Back to the scripture. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these?" he asked. "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left standing on another. Every one will be thrown down." And he says that right after he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." It's not a happy moment for Jesus when he says what he says that day. The temple in Jesus' time was a beautiful structure. Herod the Great had it rebuilt, remodeled. It was massive. Its roof was gold-plated. It shined in the sun. And they would work on it for several more years before it was finished. And yet Jesus says, not one stone is going to be left on another. Not one stone. Maybe to emphasize that, in some way, we could talk about our national capital, Washington, D.C. Used to be most of the high school kids would get to go on a senior trip, and one of the places they would go would be the nation's capital. Ride a train into Washington, D.C. and see the sights. I was privileged to do that as a senior, and I thank those who made that possible for me. But suppose you and Jesus are walking in Washington, D.C. And you say to Jesus, "Look at all these buildings. Look at all these monuments. The White House, the Capitol building, Supreme Court building, Lincoln Memorial, Jefferson Memorial, Washington Monument. How about the Korean War Memorial? Vietnam Memorial. And the memorials they've just put up to those of the Second World War." And then maybe even you take Jesus over to see the tombs of the unknown soldiers. and the guard that's there. Because you're impressed by it. They're so beautiful. And they are. But then Jesus says to you, as you're walking away, not one stone's going to be left on another. Before your generation is gone, everything here is going to be gone. Well, that's what he did that day in Jerusalem. Before your generation is gone, everything here will be gone. Not one stone on another. And those stones were not small. Those stones were approximately 44 inches by 15 inches by 11 and a half feet long. And you can still see some of them there. But they weren't where they used to be. They were pulled down. If Jesus said that about the nation's capital, what would you think about him? Would you think he was crazy? Would you be angry at him? Would you walk away from him? Would you tell Homeland Security? What would you do? I don't know what the apostles thought that day when he said that. There's no statements of theirs recorded in the Bible that I know of where they talked about it at that time. As I said, Jesus didn't make errors in what he said. Throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus says very challenging things to you and to me. I'm going to mention a few of those this morning. I'm sure most of you have heard these before, but I'm going to remind you of them. Jesus and the apostles returned to the Mount of Olives after they had been at the temple. And he sits down and he starts to preach to them. And I'm going to just summarize what he says. One of the things that he says is that many will come claiming to be the Christ. Don't believe them. You don't hear very many people saying that anymore. But if you read Jewish newspaper, every once in a while somebody comes up and claims to be the Messiah. Or their followers say, he's the chosen one of God. And it turns out he's not. But then Jesus said that was going to happen. People are going to come and claim to be the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel. And I got news for them. Jesus is the only Messiah. He's already come. And when he comes back, it's going to be to claim his kingdom. Praise God. He also tells those men that there will be wars and rumors of wars until he comes back. And what's he say with that? He says, don't be afraid. A lot of times this world's a scary place, especially in these times. Wars are terrible things, and you really don't want one. But they will be, Jesus says, until he returns. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and there have been and there are famines and earthquakes, and Christian people throughout the world have helped those who have suffered from that, and they will continue to help those places that suffer until the Christ returns. Of those famines and of those earthquakes, Jesus says, they are just birth pains. Amazing statement. You will be handed over and persecuted and put to death. Why? Because you are a believer in Jesus Christ. We don't realize how fortunate we are to sit here in this place in this day, and nobody come through the door and carry us out prisoner. In the Arab world and other worlds out there, they're dying. They're being imprisoned because they are not afraid to say, Jesus is Lord. He is my Savior. Wonder how we would respond if we were threatened with death, our own or that of our loved ones. What would we do? You will be hated by nations because of me. And Christians are hated in this world. But then he also says this, and this is scary. Many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. That's hard. Do you know some people that have turned away from the faith? I do. It's a sad, sad thing. When people you know and people you love say no more. You going to be faithful to the Christ, or are you going to turn away from him in the days left in your life? False prophets will appear and deceive many people. Anybody remember a preacher boy named Marjo? Probably not. He was popular in parts of the country at one time. Some people thought he was a prophet. And when he got older, he stood up and said, "Nah, I didn't believe any of it." Imagine how many souls that crushed. Souls that he had actually led to Jesus Christ. And my preacher didn't believe? That's hard. That hurts when you think about it. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Savior. And I do believe in him. Then he says, because of increased wickedness, love will grow cold. Ever wonder why the world is so evil? Seems to get more and more so every day. To those of us who are older, it does. Because we think love, and we believe that love has grown cold. And it has. But Jesus says that's one of the things that's going to happen before his return. And he goes on to say that he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. The gospel of Jesus Christ is preached to the whole world. Christians throughout the world are working hard to see that that happens. Jesus says when that's done, then if the Father says it's time, then he'll come. But that's one of the things that must happen. See those stones? Not one left on another, Jesus says. Not one left on another. And he warns them and he says, so when you see standing in the holy place, that means the sanctuary where they, God blessed them. When you see standing in the holy place, that which causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. That is the people outside of Jerusalem. That's that countryside out there. Leave fast, flee to the mountains. Don't stay around. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of his house. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Why? They can't run. They can't run. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be short. AD 70, the Roman army under Titus surrounds Jerusalem, comes into Jerusalem. And those Christians and those Jews who had heard what Jesus said, they left. They didn't pack up anything. They were gone. Because those who stayed or got caught, they were killed. Either killed as slaves or murdered in Jerusalem. No one survived that the Romans didn't want alive. And they didn't want anybody alive. They were tired of the Jews. Have you heard of Masada? That hill outside of Jerusalem? The Jews hole up there. And the Romans simply bring in these captured slaves and build up soil so that they can just walk into Masada. And as the Roman army is getting closer and closer, the Jewish people that are there leap to their deaths rather than be captured by and killed by the Romans. And Jesus said, if those days hadn't been cut short, it would have been even more horrible than it was. Jesus, as I don't think ever in his preaching ministry, said anything that was in error. I think everything he said, he meant. And if he hadn't have warned the apostles about one stone being on another, there'd been a lot more people dead. He saved lives by telling them that ahead of time. As we walk as Christians upon God's earth, listen to what he says. It'll bless you, not only here, but also in eternity. It may even save your life. Pay attention to what Jesus says. Don't let the fears of this life destroy you. Because Jesus said these things were going to happen, and then he was going to return. What are you supposed to do till he returns? You're supposed to watch and you're supposed to pray. You're supposed to be faithful to him until he returns or he calls you home. You are to be ready because at an hour you do not expect it, he will return. Prophet Daniel ends with some words that you might want to read sometime. But one of the things Daniel says in his prophecy said, at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. And that's true. No matter what Satan or what evil can throw at you, the day is coming when in Jesus Christ you will arise and you will receive your allotted inheritance. In what we read in the Gospels this morning, Jesus isn't at the cross yet. But during this Lenten season, please remember, he was headed that way. He would be betrayed by Judas. He would be taken prisoner. He would be tried. He would be convicted and beaten and nailed on that cross because he was dying for your sin and mine. And praise God, on that first Easter Sunday, he would rise from the dead, and he is alive. I hope you believe that today. If you don't believe that, you pray about that. If you don't believe that, you find a Christian brother or sister, and you talk to them about that. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, thank you for the Christ, for Jesus, your Son and our Savior. And as we pray this morning, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. Help us to live and to do the things that Jesus instructed us to live and to do. Bless the people that are here this morning. Bless the church at Versailles and our sister churches around. Might we indeed be faithful to Jesus and be about his business until he returns. It's in his name we ask this blessing, and amen.